Because those miracles are worked by small means, it did show unto them marvelous works. They were slothful and forgot to exercise their faith and diligence. And then those marvelous works ceased, and they did not progress in their journey. Therefore, they tarried in the wilderness or did not travel in a direct course, and they were afflicted with hunger and thirst because of their transgression. And now, my son, I would that you should understand that these things are not without a shadow. For as our fathers were slothful to give heed to this compass, now these things were temporal. They did not prosper. Even so it is with things which are spiritual. For behold, it is an easy to give heed to the word of Christ, which will point you in a straight course to eternal bliss, as it was for our fathers to give heed to this compass, which should point unto them a straight course to the promised land. And now I say, is there not a type in this thing? For just as surely as this director did bring our fathers by following its course to the promised land, shall the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond this veil of sorrow into a far better land of promise. O my son, do not let us be slothful because of the easiness of the way, for so was it with our fathers. For so was it prepared for them, that if they would look, they might live. Even so it is with us. The spiritual side of things that the word points to is for the most part missed. And I have to confess, I haven't been reading my scriptures like I should. There's always too much to do. But what is the promised land? Is it not salvation? That word of God leads us there, and we know it does. But if it doesn't change us, what was the purpose? It is our relationship with Christ that changes us. I want you to think about, and this was their compass. This was what directed them to this land. But I want to talk about some of the people that, and it gets real personal. I want you to go to that same book, but I want you to go to the 11th chapter, and it is on page 286. Now, this is about Alma, the son of Alma. Actually, it's a book of Messiah, I'm sorry. What did I write, Alma? And I want to start in the 158th verse, and this is a little bit of a long read. But I want you to understand that there was a progression here. There was a change made, that this man became a new creature. And so let's start in the 158th verse of the 11th chapter of Messiah. And I'm going to read down to, I think it's 181, somewhere around there. Okay. 158th, and it says this. It says, and the Lord did visit them and prosper them, and they became a large and a wealthy people. Sounds like us. Now the sons of Messiah were numbered among the unbelievers, and also one of the sons of Alma was numbered among them, he being called Alma after his father. Nevertheless, he became a very wicked and idolatrous man. And he was a man of many words and did speak much flattery to the people. Therefore, he led many of the people to do after the manner of his iniquity. And he became a great hindrance to the prosperity of the church of God, stealing away the hearts of the people, causing much dissension among the people, giving a chance for the enemy of God to exercise his power over them. And now it came to pass that while he was going about to destroy the church of God, for he did go about secretly with the sons of Messiah, seeking to destroy the church and to lead astray the people of the Lord, contrary to the commandments of God or even the king. And as I said unto you, as they were going about rebelling against God, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and he descended as it were in a cloud. And he spake as it were with the voice of thunder, which caused the earth to shake upon which they stood. And so great was their astonishment that they fell to the earth and understood not the words which he spake unto them. Nevertheless, he cried again, saying, Alma, arise and stand forth, for why persecutest thou the church of God? For the Lord hath said, this is my church, and I will establish it, and nothing shall overthrow it, save it is the transgression of my people. And again the angel said, behold, the Lord hath heard the prayers of this his people, and also the prayers of his servant Alma, who is thy father. For he has prayed with much faith concerning thee, that thou mightest be brought to the knowledge of the truth. Therefore, for this purpose have I come to convince thee of the power and authority of God, that the prayers of his servants might be answered according to their faith. And now, behold, can ye dispute the power of God? For behold, doth not my voice shake the earth? And can ye not also behold me before you? And I am sent from God. Now I say unto thee, go and remember the captivity of thy father in the land of Helam and in the land of Nephi, and remember how great things he has done for them. For they were in bondage, and he hath delivered them. And now I say unto thee, Alma, go thy way and seek to destroy the church no more, that their prayers may be answered, and this, even if thou wilt of thyself, be cast off. And now it came to pass that these were the last words which the angel spoke unto Alma, and he departed. And now Alma and those that were with him fell again to the earth, for great was their astonishment. For with their own eyes they had beheld an angel of the Lord, and his voice was as thunder which shook the earth. And they knew that there was nothing save the power of God that would shake the earth and cause it to tremble as though it would part asunder. And now the astonishment of Alma was so great that he became dumb, that he would not open his mouth. Yea, he became weak, even that he could not move his hands. Therefore he was taken by those that were with him and carried helpless, even until he was laid before his father, and they rehearsed unto his father all that had happened unto them, and his father rejoiced, for he knew that it was the power of God. Has that happened to any one of us? And this was a wicked man. Changed his life. We know the account of this if you've read this story. A new creature. And also the sons of Messiah. We have the record of them and how it changed their lives also. And I'm sure that they thought that their prosperity had nothing to do with God. We do today. There's many that prosper in this land that have nothing to do with God. Don't want anything to do with God. I believed that myself many years ago. And God still blessed me. Let's go to page 288. Actually, 182. And he caused that a multitude should be gathered together that they might witness what the Lord had done for his son and also for those that were with him. And he caused that the priests should assemble themselves together, and they began to fast and pray to the Lord their God that he might open the mouth of Elmer, that he might speak, and also that his limbs might receive their strength, that the eyes of the people might be opened to see and to know of the goodness and the glory of God. And it came to pass, after they had fasted and prayed for the space of 2 days and 2 nights, the limbs of Elmer received their strength, and he stood up and began to speak unto them, bidding them to be of good comfort. For said he, I have repented of my sins and have been redeemed of the Lord. Behold, I am born of the Spirit. And the Lord said unto me, marvel not that all mankind, yea, men and women, all nations, kindred, tongues, and people must be born again. Yea, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God, becoming his sons and daughters, and thus they became new creatures. And unless they do this, they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. In no way inherit the kingdom of God. That new creature, that change in our hearts. I say unto you, unless this be the case, they must cast off. And this I know, because I was like to be cast off. Nevertheless, after wading through much tribulation, repenting nigh unto death, the Lord in mercy hath seen fit to snatch me out of an everlasting burning, and I am born of God. My soul hath been redeemed from the gall of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity. I was in the darkest abyss, but now I behold the marvelous light of God. My soul was wrecked with eternal torment, but I am snatched, and my soul is pained no more. I rejected my Redeemer and denied that which had been spoken of by our fathers, but now that they may foresee that he will come and that he remembered every creature of his creating, he will make himself manifest unto all. Yea, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess before him. Yea, even at the last day, when all men shall stand to be judged of him, then shall they confess that he is God. Then shall they confess who live without God in the world that the judgment of an everlasting punishment is just upon them. And they shall quake and tremble and shrink beneath the glance of his all-searching eye. And now it came to pass that Alma began from this time forward to teach the people and those who were with Alma at the time the angel appeared unto him, traveling round about through all the land, publishing to all the people the things which they had heard and seen, and preaching the word of God in much tribulation, being greatly persecuted by those who were unbelievers, being smitten by many of them. But notwithstanding all this, they did impart much consolation to the church, confirming their faith and exhorting them with long-suffering and much travail to keep the commandments of God. And four of them were the sons of Messiah, and their names were Ammon, Aaron, Omner, Himni. These were the names of the sons of Messiah, and they traveled throughout the land of Zarahemla and among all the people who were under the reign of King Messiah, zealously striving to repair all the injuries which they had done to the church, confessing all their sins and publishing all the things which they had seen and explaining the prophecies and the scriptures to all who desired to hear them. And thus they were instruments in the hands of God to bring many to the knowledge of the truth, yea, to the knowledge of their Redeemer. Turned out good for them. Except the part where they were in much tribulation. Made a big impact on them. Does the gospel make an impact on you? Does it change who you are? You know, when experiences happen to us, and people will say, it's just a coincidence. We know that it isn't. We see the hand of God in our lives. We see how he changes us. We talked in our Sunday school downstairs this morning about Harvey's son that was one day off having breakfast in one of the Twin Towers. He was one day behind his schedule. We see that God, in his infinite wisdom, just little things. We might be mad because, we're out of schedule. We're late for work or whatever. We don't know what's going to happen. Instead of submitting ourselves to God, because do we really believe? Do we really know who he is? Elmer had to be changed. And obviously there were certain things in his characteristics that God wanted. Same thing with the sons of Messiah. They were right there also. They were changed from that point on. You see, how do we get to where we are? Many of you people were raised in church. Have you had this kind of experience? And would it change you? You see, I wasn't raised in any church. But I had some pretty amazing experiences that changed who I was and continue to change who I was, who I am. Now it's nothing compared to what I was. Am I fit for the kingdom? Sometimes I wonder. And these guys now had a testimony of the things that they were doing against God. It probably wasn't much different. And it was intentional. I want to go to Matthew 27th chapter, and there's just one verse in there. 25th chapter, I'm sorry. My glasses must be upside down or something. Matthew This 40th verse. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Did they convince anyone? Absolutely. And many people will disagree with you, and they had those problems. There was many people that disagreed with them. There's many people that disagree with me. There's many people that disagree with you. Does it make you mad? No. Have you got a better argument? Maybe. Maybe not. But it's important that we understand that everyone is at a different point. Just as these guys were at a different point until God decided that enough was enough. And from that point on, they never stopped. They were new creatures. The Apostle Paul, who wrote that scripture in 2 Corinthians, became a new creature. We're really familiar with that. It says a new creature in Christ. Because we can all be new creatures. But when you put in Christ, there's a definition. When I heard the gospel many years ago, I was a changed person. And in many respects, I still am. I see things a lot differently than I did back then. And I think that's normal. You know, at a certain point in your life when you first become a Christian, you know, you're saying, look, Lord, I need this, I need this, I need this. I want, I want, I want. And I would tell the Lord when tribulation came upon me, I would say, I am not Job. And it was my immaturity as a Christian. Because we think that God is just a benevolent uncle. All he's going to do is just keep giving to me. And it had to be something that changed Paul's way of thinking. He believed in God. He believed in God. He believed that what he was doing was absolutely right when he was destroying the church. A little bit different than the sons of Messiah and Alma. But he believed that what he was doing was absolutely what God wanted him to do. He was converted to a way of thinking. And you know, in many ways, I wasn't much different when I first heard the gospel. And probably you weren't either. Maybe you still are. There was no room for anyone else's opinion. There was no room that you could allow someone to grow, to understand the Word of God, to learn as they went. And so, God decided to teach Paul a little bit of a lesson there. And he knew it was the Lord. And he went around persecuting, trying to destroy the church, just like Elmer and them. Zealous. Let's go to Galatians, first chapter. Thirteenth through the 15th verse. For ye have heard of my conversion in the time past, in the Jews' religions, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals and my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So Paul obviously had a belief in God before that, in the Jews' religion. Zealous. Of the traditions of my fathers. Now, what are those? You know, and in some ways, you know, and I've said to some in our church that in some ways I have an advantage. Because I don't have grandma or grandpa telling me that, son, this is how the gospel is. And my grandma and my grandpa wouldn't lie to me. And pretty soon, we're thinking that that can't be right. We can't change. We can't look at things a little differently. Easy enough to happen. But there was a conversion, there was a change. We all know what that story was. We all know what happened. That like Elmer and like the sons of Messiah, he became an instrument in the hands of God instead of an instrument against God. First Corinthians, 15th chapter. Ninth verse. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. A change. That new creature. And that guilt of the things that he'd done. And I believe Elmer and the sons of Messiah were no different. That guilt of what they had done against God was one of the things that I believe drove them to do a better job to change the way they thought. And yet Paul, when in that first chapter of Galatians, was taught by Jesus, not by flesh and blood. Can you imagine being taught by the Lord himself? Would it truly change you? I would hope so. And it wasn't look at me. I'm somebody. It was I've been changed. A new creature. Conformed to the will of God. And do we pray for God's truth? Does it dwell within us? Or do we have to be blinded like Paul? Even Peter had to be convinced that the way that he had been taught as a Jew wasn't quite right. And him and Paul got into it a few times. And sometimes we can be right and still be wrong in how we present things. You see, Paul had that belief system already in place before he was blinded. I didn't have that. Elmer and the Sons of Messiah, they had heard the gospel, but it didn't mean anything to them. But the experiences that we have and had given us a desire to have a relationship that is beyond this world. And yet we still struggle because the fight is every day. And you can't just stop fighting. Let's go to 3 Nephi, page 622. It's right there. And this is about Nephi. It's the third chapter. And I'm going to start in verse 55. Nevertheless, their hearts were turned from the Lord their God, and they did stone the prophets and did cast them out from among them. And it came to pass that Nephi, having been visited by angels and also by the voice of the Lord, therefore, having seen angels and being eyewitness and having had power given unto him that he might know concerning the ministry of Christ and also being eyewitness to their quick return from righteousness unto their wickedness and abominations, therefore, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts and the blindness of their minds, went forth among them in that same year, and began to testify boldly repentance and remission of sins through faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did minister many things unto them, and all of them cannot be written, and a part of them would not suffice, therefore they are not written in this book. And Nephi did minister with power and with great authority. And it came to pass that they were angry with him, even because he had great power than they, for it were not possible that they could disbelieve his words, for so great was his faith on the Lord Jesus Christ that angels did minister unto him daily. And in the name of Jesus did they cast out devils and unclean spirits, and even his brother did he raise from the dead, after he had been stoned and suffered death by the people. And the people saw it and did witness of it, and were angry with him because of his power. And he did also do many more miracles in the sight of the people in the name of Jesus. And it came to pass that the 31st year did pass away, and there were but few who were converted unto the Lord. But as many as were converted did truly signify unto the people that they had been visited by the power and Spirit of God, which was in Jesus Christ, in whom they believed. And as many as had devils cast out from them and were healed of their sicknesses and their infirmities did truly manifest unto the people that they had been wrought upon by the Spirit of God and had been healed. And they did shew forth signs also, and did some miracles among the people. Thus passed away the 30 and the second year, and Nephi did cry unto the people in the commencement of the 30 and third year, and he did preach unto them repentance and remission of sins. Now I would have you remember also that there were none who were brought unto repentance who were not baptized with water. Therefore they were ordained of Nephi men unto this ministry, that all such as should come unto them should be baptized with water. And this people as a witness, a testimony before God and unto the people, that they had repented and received remission of their sins. And there were many in the commencement of this year that were baptized under repentance, and thus the more part of the year did pass away. Changed creatures. The battle for our souls is won and lost in our minds. And it truly is. The recipe is in here. And it's we can go to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's many things that we personally, with that relationship with God, can change the way that we look at things. And the influence that we have on other people, being those changed creatures. I tell you, even though I've changed my life in so many ways, there's still many things that I struggle with. But my brother gave me a book, and we'd been studying it for a while, and I thought this was very appropriate. The book is called My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. And it says this, winning into freedom. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If there is any remnant or individual conceit left, it always says, I can't. Personality never says, I can't, but simply absorbs. Personality always wants more and more. It is the way we are built. We are designed with a great capacity for God and sin, and our individuality are the things that keep us from getting at God. God delivers us from sin. We have to deliver ourselves from individuality to present our natural life to God and sacrifice it until it is transformed into a spiritual life by obedience. God does not pay any attention to our natural individuality in the development of our spiritual life. His order runs right across the natural life, and we have to see that we aid and abet. God not stand against him and say, I can't do that. God will not discipline us. We must discipline ourselves. God will not bring every thought and imagination into captivity. We have to do it. Do not say, O Lord, I suffer from wanting thoughts. Don't suffer from wanting thoughts. Stop listening to the tyranny of your individuality and get emancipated out into personality. If the Son shall make you free, do not substitute Savior for Son. The Savior sets us free from sin. This is the freedom of being set free by the Son. It is what Paul means in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. His natural individuality has been broken and his personality united with his Lord. Not merged, but united. We shall be free indeed, free in essence from the inside. We will insist on energy instead of being energized into identification with Christ, with Jesus. With that, I thank you very much for your time, and I pray that the Lord would watch over you this week, that we might return again next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Trevor. So are we ready to change? Not just our thoughts, but our actions also. You know, that's what repentance is. To change the way we look at sin and to stop sinning. That's repentance. And when we invite Christ into our life and we take his name upon us, we are set free. We no longer are the servant of sin, but we're the servants of Christ. We change. Again, before we close, I'm going to ask if there's anyone who needs administration today. No. Oh, Jacob. Okay. Anyone else? All right. Mark and Leslie, would you please do the administration for Jacob? And as much as possible, would you kneel in prayer? Yeah. Thank you. Our closing hymn is going to be number 230, and I ask that if you are able to return here this evening at 6:30, our brother Mark Hill will be our speaker. Number 230. Also, I forgot to mention that there will be a Book of Mormon devotional at 2:30, as well as the Christmas cantata practice at 4:30 today. So if you can make it, please attend the devotional. And those of you who are going to be in the cantata, please be here. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, we ask that you would go with us this day. We ask that you would help us to remember that we are your children, that we are no longer the servants of sin, that we will act accordingly, that we will let your light shine forth from us. I ask that you would do this for us, that you would keep us safe and healthy, that you'll continue to be with those who have asked for our prayers. Father, I ask that you would do these things for us now, if it be your will. And in the holy name of Jesus Christ, amen.